If you're enjoying the Teas Made podcast, I would love for you to check out my blog, which is also called The Teas Made. We're doing something called the So Slow Book Club, where I'm writing about the same book all year long, and I'm writing regular essays on everything from sending kids to college to why and what I'm loving creating in the kitchen these days. When you subscribe for free, you'll get my posts in your email inbox, or you can jump in on the conversation over at my page. I also have some optional goodies for paid subscribers that you're going to want to check out too. Spring is here, and I have a long list of topics I'm planning to cover. Everything from updated skincare recommendations to some recipes for fun spring-themed beverages. Come join the conversation about connection and creativity at theteasmade.com. Hi, friend. You're listening to the Teas Made podcast, and I'm so glad you're here. I'm Megan Francis, a writer and a midlife mom of five living in Michigan. In this podcast, we'll talk about some of my favorite things like books, creativity, outdoor adventure, and of course, warm beverages. And I'll share practices that can help you infuse your home, work, and family life with a sense of intention, comfort, and connection. The tea's made, so settle in, get comfortable, and let's chat. Hi, friends. It is a beautiful spring day here in Michigan. We finally seem to be at that stage of spring where every day actually feels like spring. It's not like that false spring followed by late winter followed by more false spring kind of thing. So this felt like a great time to talk about skincare routines. I did an episode a few weeks back where I talked about different ways to welcome spring, and I mentioned changing up your skincare routine for the season. I definitely do start to look at changing not only the specific rituals and routines around caring for my skin, but actually the products that I'm using this time of year, because before we know it, it's going to be really warm all the time. And so maybe what I'm doing right now might not work as well in the warmer months. So in this episode, I'm going to be sharing my specific skincare routine, including the products I use every day. And I'm also going to be sharing some of the thoughts I've had that have helped me develop a skincare philosophy as I've been getting older. And I have to say that that philosophy has really helped inform how I feel about everything from the products I put on my skin to how I feel about some more involved procedures, like the kind you might have to go to a medi spa for. Now, I am still head down in writing my book, so most of this episode is pulled from an archived episode that I recorded last year in the fall of 2023. And then at the very end of the episode, after the part that we're rerunning, I'm actually going to share a few updates to my skincare routine and some of the products that I'm loving the most right now. And that will be a new recording at the end. But first, let's jump into that archived episode from last year. And then today, me will be back at the end with some updates. Okay, here we go into that archived episode. Okay, we've all heard that our skin is the largest organ in our body, and it's definitely the one that gets the most public exposure. There's lots of things that happen to us internally as we age, but what's the thing that people see first when they look at us? Probably our faces and whatever other skin is sticking out above the shirt, right? And from wrinkles to sagging and dark spots to, yes, acne, even in midlife, it can seem like our skin is constantly in flux as we age. We all want our skin to look its best, but sometimes that can seem to be code for we want it to look younger. But is it possible to adopt a skincare philosophy that allows us to embrace the visible signs of aging, or at least not spend a lot of mental energy trying to fight the inevitable, while also creating a routine that helps our aging skin look healthier? I'm going to be talking about skincare, specifically what my skincare routine looks like right now for my 46-year-old skin, including some specific product recommendations and things I've learned from estheticians and my own research. And I'm also going to share my attempts to create some kind of philosophy around what I'm willing to do and not to do to help my skin look its best. I hope this episode inspires you to develop your own feel-good skincare philosophy, one that makes room for natural aging while also giving you ideas for how to care for your largest organ. Okay, friends, so before we jump in, a reminder that I am not a skincare expert. I'm not a dermatologist, I'm not an esthetician, but I have had a fascination with skincare and skincare products since I was very young, and I've done a lot of reading about various ingredients and procedures and all of that. So a note that most of the brands I'll mention, I do have some sort of partnership with, and mostly that's because I just don't use that many different brands. And the ones I've used and loved, I typically find out if they have an affiliate program. So what I mean by that is if I'm recommending a specific product or brand, you can rest assured that I've used it and loved it, and I've spent my own money on it before I've entered into a partnership with that brand. I'm pretty selective about what I'll put on my skin, and I'm not just going to recommend a whole bunch of products that I don't use myself. That said, if you use my shopping links and promo codes, I do earn a commission, and that helps me keep putting out this podcast. So I really appreciate it when you do. I also want to say I'm only focusing on facial skin today, with a little nod to the neck and chest because those are basically extensions of our face. I think body care is a whole other topic. It is near and dear to my heart, but today I'm just going to focus on facial skin. And I also want to mention cost. So many of the products I'm going to talk about today are fairly expensive, meaning they're a higher cost than a drugstore brand in some cases, but not in the hundreds of dollars either. I totally realize that being able to spend any amount of money on skincare is a privilege. And full disclosure, working with brands as a partner means I sometimes get to sample stuff for free. But I'm also not primarily a beauty blogger or podcaster, so it's not like I'm constantly testing new products. I can't give you a broad view of how one brand performs functionally versus another. I just try to choose products that are sourced and created in a way I feel good about, from companies that I align with ethically, and I also choose products, honestly, that are just a pleasure to use. I love when they feel good going on. I love when they smell good. To be totally honest, I like them to look good on my vanity or my bathroom counter too. All that is to say, please do not feel pressured to buy the specific products I recommend. This is just what I'm able to do and want to do at this particular moment of my life. I'll also try to offer some lower cost options wherever I can if I have personal experience with those products. I would also say that if you're trying to figure out how to most wisely use your skincare budget, I would focus first on higher quality serums and moisturizers, since those are going to sit on your skin and the concentration of the active ingredients matter more than they do, say, in a cleanser. I mean, I love my Osea cleanser, and Osea is one of the brands I'm going to be talking about today, but sometimes I just cleanse with like water and a washcloth. Products like fancy cleansers and toners are really nice to have, but if I had to choose, that is not where I'd spend the majority of my budget. Okay, let's dive in. So a little over a year ago, I wrote a blog post about my skincare routine, and the premise of the post was that I had decided to quit being so random about my skincare. So for years, I had just been buying whatever drugstore brand was having the best, like buy one, get one deal. And so I knew what the products did, but I wasn't really sure how to use them, like how much to use or when or in what combinations. I didn't know what order to put them on. It was really scattershot. And I was starting to feel a little uncertain about the chemicals in a lot of skincare products, especially when I was using different chemical products. So I decided to practice what I called skincare monogamy for a while, and I basically just narrowed down my routine to products from one brand, and that was Osea. I wanted to figure out how everything worked together, and it was just a lot easier to do that if I was working within one brand rather than hopping all over the place. So really quick note, if you're putting together your skincare routine now, one thing that's important to realize is the way emollients and humectants work together. Because you're going to see a whole bunch of both on the market, and the packaging isn't always going to make it clear how they function differently. So a humectant would be something like a hyaluronic acid or glycerin or propylene glycol. That's just a few. There's a lot of them. And they actually draw moisture from the air into the skin. So then you've got your emollients, and those would be like plant oils. Those lock in the moisture. So I've noticed that if I use a humectant on its own, like a hyaluronic acid, my skin doesn't really feel moisturized. Like it feels really good going on, but then within a few minutes, I feel like I need something else. But if I just use an emollient, like a facial oil, then the moisturized feeling is just sort of surface level. So I can really tell the difference when I layer an emollient over a humectant. And then there's a third type, and that is an occlusive. That's a heavier layer that sits on top of the skin and seals all that moisture in. So that's going to be one of those heavier face creams that is waxier or maybe a butter of some sort. And having had combination skin as a younger person that tended oily, it wasn't really until recently that I'd even considered an occlusive. I can definitely see a place for them in my future now. I use them on other parts of my body and sometimes on my cheeks, like in the dead of winter. But I think that that is definitely something I will be leaning on more and more. And another thing is, of course, there are some emollients that are also occlusives. And many emollients also include some humectants, but it's just really good to know a product's main purpose while you're trying to figure out how to use them together. So when I finally understood how these products work together, like I said, I decided to just practice skincare monogamy and wound up scaling back to just one brand, and I chose Osea. So Osea, it's located in California. They use a lot of ocean-sourced botanicals in their products, and I'd worked with them before through the Mom Hour podcast, and I'd loved their products enough that I just continued to buy them for myself after the partnership ended. So then when I decided to simplify my routine, I thought this just makes sense that I would go with this brand. So I educated myself on the right order to use the products in, how to use them, and chose a few I wanted to start using every day. So after really settling into this routine, I noticed a difference in my skin pretty quickly, and I did add some more products after that to get to the routine that I do most of the time now. I will say I have not used a retinol product on my face in over a year, and I think my skin still looks really good. I also don't do any weird vampire facials or anything like that. So even with multiple products, my skincare routine's still pretty simple. Okay, so now let's talk about the specific products I use most often from Osea. That would include their Ocean Milk Cleanser, their Hyaluronic Sea Serum, the Atmosphere Protection Cream for day, or the Advanced Protection Cream at night. Now, this is a great example of layering an emollient. That would be the Advanced Protection Cream or the Atmosphere Protection Cream over a humectant, which is the Hyaluronic Sea Serum. So honestly, if you just used those three products every day, like a cleanser, the Hyaluronic Sea Serum, and then one of the two moisturizers I just mentioned, and that's it, I think your skin will probably be in pretty good shape. And I've definitely taken it down to that bare bones when I'm in a busy time of life or my budget's tight, or when I just don't feel like my skin needs a lot more. That said, I do like to use more products than that. For example, I like to exfoliate in the shower a couple of times a week. I love Osea's new Sea Glow resurfacing scrub for that. It smells great. It feels wonderful to use. It leaves my skin really smooth and glowy, and it feels like this perfectly prepped canvas for the rest of my skincare. I also really like facial oils. I'll talk about that more in a minute, but that's been kind of a newcomer to my skincare routine that I am really digging. And by the way, I will link all these products and a few others I really like in the show notes. So with some of these products, you just don't have to use very much. And so if you're looking at a per month cost, it works out to be a lot more reasonable than it might sound. Okay, so since I wrote that skincare monogamy blog post over a year ago, I've made a handful of changes that I wanted to talk about. One is that I tried oil cleansing and I loved it so much that I made it a staple of my skincare routine. Sometimes in the summer, I actually find that if I do an oil cleanse first thing in the morning, I don't even really need a moisturizer. I just jump right to my sunscreen. But in general, I am loving facial oil, both as a cleanser and then a product to use for gua sha, which is a facial massage that you do with this special blunt tool. It's said to promote lymphatic drainage. It's supposed to be great for your skin. I guess I can just say I think it feels really good. And if I'm consistent about it, I do start to notice that my skin looks firmer in the eyebrow and the jaw area. I have no scientific proof of that. That is just what I have noticed, but I do it because it feels good and it seems to kind of relieve some tension in my face. So when I started to use a lot of oil for cleansing and for facial massage and for moisturizing, I did start looking around for an alternative to Osea's product. Osea actually has two facial oils. They have the Dayglow facial oil, and then my favorite is the essential hydrating oil. But here's the thing about facial oils. They're kind of expensive for what they are. I mean, they're just oil, right? And you can source oil from a lot of places. So if you're just using a few drops as like the last step of your skincare routine, that little bottle is going to last a long time. But if you're using oil for washing your face or you're doing like gua sha multiple times a day, it can start to feel a little expensive. So I did start making my own oil for facial massage and oil cleansing, and I will link up that recipe in the show notes. But I reserve the Osea facial oil for the last step in my routine. I don't use it for cleansing. I don't use it for gua sha unless I happen to be doing gua sha after I do my skincare routine. And I also picked up Burt's Bees facial oil for my travel bag, and I really like it. The scent isn't quite as heavenly as the Osea essential hydrating oil, but as a backup or just as a less expensive version, it's really good. And Burt's Bees also makes a cleansing oil that I'm going to try soon. On the whole, I have really liked using Burt's Bees products. I think it's a good drugstore option. And again, like oil is oil. So I think this is an area where it's totally fine to spend a little less. Okay, one more thing I wanted to talk about, and that is toners. So I have done a lot of reading about toners, and from what I have read, they are totally optional. I will say for myself, I really like the feeling of, you know, a nice cotton ball drenched with cooling toner gliding over my skin or spritzing on my face. It's just really nice, especially when I have the time to pamper myself or on a hot day of summer or something. But from what I've read, it does not seem like they make that much of a difference. So I sort of use them when I feel like it and I don't stress about it. Osea makes a C vitamin boost spray that I love, but I've also used Burt's Bees micellar toner with rose water. I think I have that in my travel bag right now, and that is nice too. So I will link up all of these products in the show notes so you can check them out for yourself. Okay, friends, you have already heard me talk about my new Uptown loafers from our sponsor, Vionic. I love these versatile, classic, and comfy slip-on shoes, and the Uptown loafer is part of the Vionic Vitals collection, which is what I want to tell you about today. Vionic Vitals contains some of Vionic's most versatile daily styles. So if you've been curious about Vionic but are overwhelmed by all the choices, start with the Vitals collection first. The Willow Flat was my very first Vionic style, and I have been in love with it for years. I'm also eyeballing the Chardonnay heeled sandal for summer date nights. Like all of Vionic's footwear, the shoes in the Vionic Vitals line are super comfortable, stable, and supportive with Vionic's exclusive VioMotion technology. Go to vionicshoes.com/vitals to find the Vitals collection and use the code TEASEMADE at checkout for 15% off your entire order, plus free shipping when you log into your account. That code is good for a one-time use only, so be sure to make the most of it. That's TEASEMADE, TEASEMADE, for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com. I follow a lot of natural living and like farming Instagram accounts, so I'm sure the algorithm is trying to figure me out. And they started feeding me ads for tallow-based skincare. So maybe you're seeing these too. I was very intrigued. Tallow is beef fat, and that might seem weird or gross to put on your skin, but it's been used traditionally for centuries and it's full of vitamins and apparently is very close to your skin's natural makeup. So I was really intrigued by this traditional product that would make use of parts of the cow that might otherwise not get used. So I decided to try Toups, T-O-U-P-S. I think that was the first tallow-based skincare balm that got my attention, and I started trying it out. So I've been using it in the Sweet Girl scent for a couple of weeks now, along with the reparative serum. And I have to say, I really like both products. The tallow balm, first of all, does not smell like beef. The fat is rendered. It has a totally neutral scent. And then the Sweet Girl scent is really nice. And the balm is whipped. So it has this really nice light texture. It's not heavy or greasy. I do have to say the reparative serum is the thing I'm loving the most from Toups. It has an extract in it that I'm not even going to try to pronounce, but it's been shown to stimulate collagen production in the skin. It's got vitamin C and hyaluronic acid. It feels like it sinks into my skin and has more staying power. Whereas the hyaluronic C serum feels so light, it's almost like it evaporates on contact and I have to immediately cover it with a moisturizer. So I think if I had oilier skin or was looking for something super light or maybe like in the middle of summer, I might gravitate toward the Osea product. But right this moment, I'm feeling a slight preference for the Toups reparative serum. I also really like Toups' approach to marketing. It seems really age positive and I appreciate that too. So basically, I'm just experimenting here. I've been using my Osea products in the morning and my Toups products at night. I do think the tallow balm is a bit heavy for morning, and I probably wouldn't use it in the middle of summer either. I just really love the feeling of the Osea Atmosphere Protection Cream and a couple of drops of that essential hydrating oil as a finisher under my makeup in the day. I also think the tallow balm probably would be a bit much in the middle of summer. So we'll see. I may end up editing my go-to skincare routine at some point. Right now, these are just fun products I'm liking and experimenting with, and I think you should check them out if you're curious. Let's talk about Botox. I know this has become so common, and it's not really part of a person's, you know, daily skincare routine, but for a lot of women, I think it definitely becomes part of the big picture. I've never done it. I've never had fillers done. And I really have no judgment. I know so many women my age are doing this. In fact, I would say probably at least half of my friends have done fillers or Botox or both. Whether they're doing it regularly or not, they've at least tried it once. I guess for me, at this point, I'm trying to cultivate a skincare philosophy that doesn't push me into this roller coaster of always having to get more procedures to keep up. And I know that probably also means my face is going to show signs of aging faster than it otherwise might have done. And I'm trying to be okay with that. I also think I kind of missed a boat. I keep hearing that you're supposed to actually start Botox in your 30s if you want it to have more lasting effects. And I obviously didn't do that. So I have no idea how I'm going to feel about this in 5 years or 10 years. But just right now, I'm just trying to be comfortable with what's happening to my skin naturally, just by exposing myself to it. And I will say this isn't always easy. There have been a lot of changes to my skin in just the past year that I haven't always loved, but that's just where I'm at right now. So the second thing I wanted to talk about that I'm not doing right now is retinol. I haven't used it in over a year, like I said, and I was kind of sporadic with it before that. I really wasn't sure how I felt about it from a philosophical standpoint. And also because I already have pretty fair skin and I spend a lot of time outside, I thought, oh man, am I just setting myself up for sun damage? Because now retinol is making my skin more sensitive to the sun. I will say I got a facial the week before my wedding in May, and the esthetician really understood my concerns. She still recommended that I use retinol, at least in the winter and the spring. She just said, I'll see so much difference that in her opinion, it's worth it. And I guess the reason I'm still torn is that if I already think my skin looks pretty good, is it worth it to use a product I feel iffy about because it might look somewhat better? And then at what point am I just waging a losing battle against time? And I don't know. I know retinol has been widely studied. It's generally thought to be safe. There's just something about that slight question mark paired with how ultimately unnecessary any of this stuff is that has kept me from buying in. So right now I'm kind of feeling like I'll pass. That could change. I also realize that retinol is another kind of skincare product that you want to be using regularly sooner rather than later for the most long-lasting results. So that is definitely still up for debate. In this conversation, I am barely touching like chemical exfoliants like AHAs. There is an AHA product I sometimes use. I will mention that when I kind of lay out my skincare routine in more depth. It's just not something I'm giving a ton of thought to right now. And again, I'm trying to keep things really simple. I have in the past used a prescription product that was for like dark spots and discoloration. I have a lot of it sort of on the side of my face and even down on my neck under my ear. And I used a product for it for a while and it was okay. And then I just sort of stopped. I guess it's just not bothering me that much right now. So I'm not super focused on it. And that brings me to other products you're probably being marketed right now, like vitamin C serums, right? So one thing I thought was interesting from my facial, and by the way, if there's anything I do plan on continuing to do throughout midlife and beyond, it is incorporating more regular facials into my routine because they feel amazing. And after getting one, I'm always glad I did it. So anyway, I was talking with the esthetician about vitamin C serums because I've had such a hard time finding one that stays stabilized on the counter. I know you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever bought a vitamin C product that is kind of like a weird brownish color or gave off a really gross smell, you have been there, right? Vitamin C has been held up as this darling of skincare experts, but it oxidizes really easy. And that's why it looks gross or stinks and doesn't work anymore. So my esthetician said, well, you know, vitamin C is great, but it's not the only vitamin product that has some of those qualities. You can also use vitamin B or D or E or K. They are great also and much more stable. So it was a great reminder that sometimes what we believe about skincare comes from marketing. And while vitamin C might be amazing, there could also be something else out there that's just as good and fits your lifestyle better. And we have options. This stuff can be so subjective and tricky, and I feel like we just have to figure it out as we go. And for myself, I'm finding that having some sort of mindset or guiding principle just helps me make decisions. Okay, friends, I got my pair of Uptown loafers from our sponsor, Vionic, and I just had to tell you about them. They're cute and classic and really lightweight, and they do actually pack flat. I am definitely going to be taking these on all my spring travels, and I can see myself wearing them with everything from jeans and trousers to dresses and maybe a little later on shorts. I got them in camel leather, but they come in 12 different colors. The Uptown Loafer is part of the Vionic Vitals collection, which features some of their most versatile daily styles. And of course, you know you can count on your Vionics to be super comfortable, stable, and supportive. Use code TEASEMADE at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That code's good for a one-time use only at vionicshoes.com, and again, you're going to get 15% off your entire order. I'll also have a link to that offer on my shop page, and you can find that in the show notes. Again, the code is TEASEMADE, T-E-A-S-M-A-D-E, at vionicshoes.com. Vionic Shoes, wearable well-being for your feet. All right, I've spent a lot of this episode talking about products, so I thought I would share a glimpse of my actual skincare routine so you can see how it all comes together. So first thing in the morning, I cleanse with Osea Ocean Cleansing Milk. Then I use the C Vitamin Boost Spray if I feel like it and haven't run out. Then I use the Osea Hyaluronic C Serum, and I follow it up with Atmosphere Protection Cream and a few drops of the Essential Hydrating Oil. And on a good day, I follow with my Gua Sha if I've got time, and then I put on my makeup. I do Gua Sha almost every night. Sometimes I don't do it early in the day. I like to do it twice if I can because it feels good. Then I exfoliate in the shower twice a week with the Sea Glow Resurfacing Scrub. So I am a bath taker and I only shower when I'm washing my hair, which is usually every 3 to 4 days. So that's when I use the exfoliant. And otherwise during the week, I might sometimes use a washcloth to kind of, you know, scrub a little of my chin around my nose or my forehead if I feel like it's needed. But I really feel like a couple times a week is usually plenty. Osea also has an AHA product called Sea Glow Overnight Serum, which I am currently out of, but I really do like it. So when I restock on that, I will use that twice a week on the same nights I shower and exfoliate because it just helps me remember. Okay, so then at night, I usually do an oil cleanse followed by whatever serum or night cream I am using at the moment. So the Advanced Protection Cream is Osea's most expensive moisturizer, I believe. It's definitely the most expensive thing on my list. It's $108. A tiny little bit goes a very long way. And I like to use it as a night cream. So just putting it out there that like that is a great product that I really love. It's the most expensive one I'm recommending. And I've also gone without it at times. And of course, everything I do to my face, I do to my neck and chest or décolletage. I'm not sure I pronounced that right, but I did my best. Okay. Remember, I'm going to link up all of these products in the show notes. I'll also link to the posts that I've put up before that have like the details about my skincare routine. So I know it seems like I've shared a lot of products, but if you want to really strip down, you're going to do great with a cleanser and a quality moisturizer. I also like to have a humectant or an antioxidant serum, and I personally love using facial oils and scrubs and toners. But I think the biggest key in any of this is consistency. If you love a product or a system enough to use it twice a day, every day, your skin's going to look healthier. So choose products you love and give yourself license to romanticize your routine a little bit. I feel like at this stage of my life, I have earned it. I guess I want to leave this episode with one last thought about our skin. And that's, I think this should be fun and nurturing and not like a drag or a desperate struggle to eradicate all signs of aging from my face. I am aging. That's okay. So my skincare is really just a sort of self-indulgent little routine that I can do that feels really good. I use products that are a pleasure to apply, that smell great, that feel great. And yes, if I am glowing after using them, even if it's just for an hour, that's amazing too. And I just keep reminding myself that old skin can also look beautiful and healthy. Wrinkled skin can glow. And personally, when I see that my chin is a little saggier than it used to be, or there's some deeper creases between my eyes, just try to ask myself, what is the most loving way I can treat this face of mine today, just as it is? Okay, friends, I hope you enjoyed this episode from the archives. So most of this, like I said, was recorded last fall. So I just want to pop in again as April 2024, Megan, to give you a quick update. And that is that I am basically back to using all Osea products again. I used up all of that reparative serum from Tupes a while back. And while I did love it, I haven't replaced it. And now I'm finding that with the weather getting warmer, I am preferring Osea's Hyaluronic C Serum because it has that lighter feeling to it. And the Tube's Tallow Balm was amazing on dry spots, but could be a little heavy. And now I'm starting to gravitate back toward the lighter moisturizers in my Osea collection. That includes the Atmosphere Protection Cream for day, followed by a couple of drops of the facial oil. And then right now at night, I'm using the Collagen Dream Night Cream. That is a newer product. It came out after I recorded the episode last year, but I really love it. I think it's a great alternative to that advanced protection cream at a significantly lower price. And Osea also has another great moisturizer called Seabiotic Water Cream that I loved to use last summer. It is much more affordable, and I may switch to that this summer. The scent took a little bit of getting used to for me. It's kind of this green, earthy scent. But now that I think about it, I think it literally smells like seaweed, and that's where the active ingredient comes from, so that would make sense. But now that I'm used to it, I really like the smell. It just has this very natural, organic smell to it, not sort of a perfumey smell like you might get in a lot of skincare products. So anyway, it's kind of funny to me that after playing around with some new products and new brands, I am back to about 97% skincare brand monogamy, just like I started with a few years ago. And I really do like this approach. I just feel like it makes it easier to keep it all straight and build a skincare routine that works for me based on the time of year. I can kind of play with the different formulas in the same brand and take advantage of those gift with purchase deals and store-wide sales and things like that. And then if I end up with a little more of something outside of the season I plan to use it, I just put it in the drawer for a few months and pull it out later. I also mentioned in the episode that last fall, I wasn't really using the Seaglow AHA product from Osea, but I have been using that twice a week for the past month, and I really do think it helps my skin look brighter. Another thing I am expecting to change, but it just hasn't yet, is that often my actual routines will change as the seasons kind of progress. So right now, I'm still getting my exercise in the afternoon. I'm still doing the majority of my outdoor work and play like a little later in the day, maybe after 11 a.m. But that is definitely going to shift as it gets hotter outside. And so in a month or two, I might be getting the majority of my outdoor stuff done early in the morning. And that is going to change the timing around my routines and things like that. But I don't think it will actually change the rituals too much. I'm still going to cleanse. I'm still going to use a serum. I'm still going to use a moisturizer on top of that. And then, you know, depending on the time of year, I might be using different products within those routines. But the basics of the routine will stay the same. I do think it's always fun this time of year to kind of think about those rituals and routines and how to change them up for the seasons. And it's definitely something I am doing and thinking about right now. So I've got a blog post with my skincare routine and all of the products I mentioned today and probably some more. And you can find that at meganfrancis.com/skincare. That's Megan with two A's, M-E-A-G-A-N, francis.com/skincare. Just a note, you can use the code TEASMADE, T-E-A-S-M-A-D-E, for 10% off your entire purchase at oseamalibu.com. That's oseamalibu.com. You can also try Megan with two A's if you've already used the code TEASMADE. I think that code Megan is still active too. And there are always great deals happening at Osea's site, so you'll hear me sharing those promotions on the podcast as well. Osea is an affiliate partner, so if you make a purchase, I'll get a commission, and that helps me keep making this podcast, so thank you for that. Okay, I'm going to leave you with a couple of thoughts today. So I know I mentioned a lot of specific products in this episode that may or may not align with your financial priorities or even your life priorities. Like maybe you just don't care that much about skincare, although I think those people probably stopped listening about 20 minutes ago. But it's also possible that your skincare budget just doesn't allow to make these kinds of purchases right now. And that is so okay. For me, taking care of my skin is just one nourishing thing that I really like to do. But I also know that I could do it with a lot of different kinds of products or very few products or very inexpensive products. And also the three things that I have found make the biggest difference in my skin are getting enough quality sleep, staying hydrated, limiting alcohol, which I think does go with the staying hydrated thing, right? And I think maybe getting enough movement makes a difference too. I think there might be a connection there. And sleeping and drinking enough water and moving are all basically free. So you can really start there. And then maybe you have a really stripped down cleansing and moisturizing routine. And then add on the other stuff if it's doable and valuable for you. And that may or may not include other things like facials or procedures or specialized products, and that's okay. My hope is that you just feel good about the skin you're living inside today.
That's all for this episode of The Teas Made. You can find links to the products and other things we talked about today in the show notes for this episode. You can find that by scrolling down below the episode in your podcast app, or you can go to theteasmade.com and find all the episodes, plus resources, links to my favorite teas and books and other products, and so much more. I share new episodes every Thursday, so please follow or subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And while you're in your podcast app, I would love if you'd leave a rating or review. It really helps me out so much. Okay, friends, that's all for now. I will talk to you again very soon. If you're enjoying the Teas Made podcast, I would love for you to check out my blog, which is also called The Teas Made. We're doing something called the So Slow Book Club, where I'm writing about the same book all year long, and I'm writing regular essays on everything from sending kids to college to why and what I'm loving creating in the kitchen these days. When you subscribe for free, you'll get my posts in your email inbox, or you can jump in on the conversation over at my page. I also have some optional goodies for paid subscribers that you're going to want to check out too. Spring is here, and I have a long list of topics I'm planning to cover. Everything from updated skincare recommendations to some recipes for fun spring-themed beverages. Come join the conversation about connection and creativity at theteasmade.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.